This episode contains explicit language.
Please be advised.
It's 1997 in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, the year after Will and Jada started dating. It's a beautiful night. A gentle ocean breeze pushes the curtains of their hotel suite back and forth as Will and Jada do what they do best, making sweet, sweet love to each other. As they stare into each other's eyes, their fists curled against thousand-thread count sheets, a pod of dolphins cry out from the ocean below, cheering them on. A mighty seabird flaps its wings, silhouetted by a giant full moon.
All right, is it crazy that the thing I'm most shocked by is the 1,000 thread count sheets?
Honestly, same. But the point is that as Will and Jada climax together that night, everything in their lives is perfect. Like riding a unicorn down a rainbow perfect. And it stays that way for about 5 more seconds. Because that's when Jada feels something lock inside her. It's like a turn and shift. Her eyes widen. I'm pregnant, Will.
Okay. I mean, look, he is Hancock, so anything's possible, but also science.
Yeah, and I'm a woman of science, so
you are.
Fully agree. But Jada's distraught. She's absolutely certain she is pregnant. And the thought terrifies her. Jada is not ready to be a mom for a million different reasons. She cares about her career, and she's got big goals she wants to achieve. Being a Black woman in the entertainment industry already comes with a long set of contradictory rules. Becoming a mother adds even more clauses and complications to the equation. Jada's proud of what she's accomplished so far. And she knows the foundation she's built for her career is setting her up for wider success. She can see amazing projects in her future and dream roles in everything from rom-coms and indie movies to thrillers and TV shows. They're all just on the horizon, waiting for her to claim them. But that's only if she doesn't get pregnant. Jada is sure that becoming a mother will derail everything she's worked so hard for. Her own tough childhood showed her firsthand how much responsibility it takes to be a good parent. Like her husband, she doesn't do anything halfway. If she can't be a great mom, she doesn't want to be one at all. And she does not have time to be a great mom right now.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel. Like, all the reality TV in the world isn't going to watch itself.
Yes, exactly. Which brings us to the biggest reason Jada doesn't want to be pregnant. She feels like if she's pregnant, she'll have to marry Will. Now, she's got nothing against Will. After all, she loves the guy. She's with him forever. Jada is fiercely loyal, but she's not anyone's wife. Being a wife for Jada means a whole tangle of obligations she doesn't want to deal with. She's her own woman, full stop. So as she sits up in that giant bed in Cabo, she sobs. And then she notices Will is sitting beside her, shaking his head and laughing. He thinks the whole thing is hilarious. Will tells her he's pretty sure the science of baby making doesn't work like that. There's no way she could possibly know she's pregnant. He's sure Jada's overreacting. Too much tequila, maybe? Jada just sits and stares as Will laughs her off. She can't understand why he isn't listening to her. Even if she is wrong and she's not pregnant, her feelings are real. And none of this is funny to her. 9 months later, Jada gives birth to her son, Jaden. And the rest, as they say, is history. Except it's not, really. So far, we've only heard Will's version of this story. But Jada Pinkett has her own story to tell. And she's finally ready to speak up.
From
From Wondery, I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And this is Even the Rich. In our last episode, Will followed his foolproof formula for Hollywood success and became one of the most bankable stars in the world. But Will's more is more approach to life is weighing on his family, especially his wife, Jada. Like Will, Jada comes from a difficult childhood home. And as an adult, she craves stability and independence. But when she takes on the roles of wife and mom, Jada worries her sense of self is slipping. She's going to have to make some big changes to find who she truly is again. This is episode 3, A Low Down Dirty Shame. It's the late 70s in Baltimore, Maryland, and 7-year-old Jada Pinkett is walking down the street with her hand tucked safely into her dad's giant palm. It feels great to be holding hands with him. Her dad, Robsol Pinkett Jr., has a calming presence about him. He feels strong. Jada loves everything about her father, especially the fact that he's an artist. He makes his own worlds with poems and paintings and songs. Someday, Jada wants to do the same. Robsol bends over and looks deep into his daughter's big, bright eyes. A smile spreads across Jada's face as she waits to hear what he has to say. He pats her on the head and tells her, "I can't be your father. I'm an addict and a criminal. And that's just what it is."
Damn, that'll stay with you.
Yeah, it really will. He's just taught Jada the first real lesson of her life. Nothing is safe. Everything is unstable. Everyone goes away. After that, the only other major memory Jada has of her father is super blurry, but it's intensely emotional. Little Jada is in the cozy, warm den of her grandparents' home. Her mom, Adrienne, is there too, and Jada's soaking in the warm vibes and listening to the grown-ups chatter happily. But then Jada watches as her mother tenses up. Heavy footsteps hurry across the next room towards them. Then the door bursts open. It's her dad, and he's yelling. He's furiously screaming at her mom. Jada doesn't understand what any of this is about, but she's terrified. Her heart starts pounding as her dad advances on her mother, screaming at her as she backs into the next room. Then the door closes and Jada's alone. Fragments of an argument come through the door. Then it flies open again and her mom runs across the room and out of the house. Jada has no idea where mom is headed, only that she left without her. And then her father is standing over her, telling her it's time to go. Except it isn't. At least not for Jada. The police arrive shortly after that, and Jada rarely sees her father ever again.
God, that's so sad.
Yeah, it sucks. Because that's where Jada Pinkett comes from. Nothing is stable. And eventually, everyone goes away. There is one ray of light in Jada's life, and it's her mom, Adrienne. Adrienne had Jada when she was just 17, and Jada knows that being a single mom is hard. But Adrienne always makes time for her. Jada's smart and perceptive. She knows that underneath her mother's love is a deep well of sadness. Sometimes she sees it flare up. Like the time she asked how her mother got the scar on her back, and a look of anguish flashed across her face. Somehow, Jada knew the scar probably came from her now missing dad. Even though he's no longer there, it's like he's still haunting them. And as Jada grows up, that lesson he taught her keeps turning out to be true. When she becomes a teenager, Jada realizes her mom isn't so sad anymore. It's not like Adrienne is happy. It's more like she isn't really anything at all. She's really out of it. Sometimes she falls asleep sitting up. Sometimes she forgets to pick Jada up from school. A lot of the time, Jada just has no idea where her mom is or when she'll be home. And now, Jada's old enough to know why. Adrian is addicted to heroin. At every turn, the lesson Jada's dad taught her keeps coming true. It makes her feel lost and alone. But even though she's terrified, Jada knows she has to be strong. She has to find a way to become her own safe place.
It's honestly surprising how similar Will and Jada's childhoods were.
Yeah, seriously. And Jada is every bit as resourceful and brilliant as Will when it comes to navigating a shitty world. She even finds a place where she feels safe and powerful. The Baltimore College of the Arts, one of the top public arts high schools in the country. Jada loves to dance because it's a massive release for her. She leaps across the studio, sweating and letting the music flow through her. And as she does, all her frustrations melt away with the beat. Theater feels liberating too. Jada revels in becoming somebody else, someone with different problems who lives in some far-off place. A vixen utterly in love, or a Shakespearean fairy, or a fast-talking saleswoman. Jada loves performing so much that she sometimes forgets there's even an audience. But there is one, and it loves her. Jada's artistic abilities get roaring cheers from her classmates and teachers. They see her as she wants to be seen, talented and brilliant. Not as the child of an abusive dad and a heroin-addicted mom. And the recognition feels good. Jada feels like her true self is emerging. She's a person who's strong and in control. When she's on stage, there are no surprises and no traumas. Life feels totally safe and predictable. As long as she's got the script and executes the choreography, there's no unpredictability. The stage feels safe, reassuring.
Yeah, that's what Chris Rock used to think.
Oh, Brooke, too soon.
Is it?
And just like for Will, when the camera goes away, reality slaps Jada in the face.
Oh, no.
After a day acting out scenes with her classmates and dancing until she feels like she's made of music, Jada's left standing on the sidewalk outside school, wondering where her mom is. She's not sure if Adrian will show up at all. As remarkable as Jada is inside school, outside, her own mom has forgotten her. Jada realizes that if she's going to have a predictable, normal life, she's going to need a script. And she's going to have to write it herself. So Jada stops relying on her mother. She learns to take charge of making sure that she can eat and keep her clothes clean. She figures out how to get where she needs to go so she won't be left alone, wasting time and waiting. But it's hard to be independent without any money. So Jada makes a plan to get some cash. Business comes easy to her. She's super smart and a quick study. So it's not long before Jada has plenty of cash coming in. Her enterprise? Drug dealing. She might feel in control, but she isn't safe. This script she's writing for herself is taking her down a dangerous path. And that's when her mom steps up big time. Adrian sees what's going on. And even though she's still battling her own addiction, she believes in Jada and her talent. She wants the very best for her. So Adrian calls for some much-needed rewrites. She tells Jada that she needs to take a different kind of risk. She's got to get out of Baltimore and follow her dreams.
Oh, just like you.
Literally. Jada realizes that her mother is right. And with Adrian's encouragement, she feels like she can do anything. So Jada heads to the North Carolina School for the Arts to focus on her acting. But after just a year, she realizes that no one cares if you have a degree in acting.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood only cares if you can nail an audition. By now, Jada's an expert at flying by the seat of her pants. So she makes a decision. In 1989, she drops out of college and moves to Hollywood at 18 years old. She's sure that success will give her the kind of stability she's always craved. And it's all going to be on her own terms. It's 1990, and Jada Pinkett is dressed to kill. She's standing in front of a casting director in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air offices, finishing up her audition. Jada's time in Hollywood is going pretty well so far. She's been booking jobs and getting her name out there. And she's sure she just rocked this audition. After all, you show Jada Pinkett a script, and she'll live it for you, even if it's just for 15 minutes. But the casting director tells her that she did not get the role of Will's girlfriend because she's not tall enough.
So he needed to have a whole audition to know that? It's kind of giving bullshit.
Yeah, and Jada thinks so too. In fact, she's pissed. It's unfair. It's not as if she can go to getting taller classes to land the role she wants. They could at least give her something she can actually work on. But she knows better than to say that. So she turns on her heel and heads out of the room. She's striding through the casting office door, fuming, when a tall, skinny dude cuts right in front of her with a goofy grin on his face. What up, shawty? It's the Fresh Prince himself, and he's getting fresh with her.
Okay, how dare he be tall around her right now? Like, read the room, man.
Yeah, this guy is grinning like he's just nailed a punchline, and he's waiting for Jada to swoon. But Jada doesn't have the patience to be hit on right now, even by the star of the show she just lost out on. She tells this fool to get out of her way, and she strides right past him and out of the building. But as she leaves, she realizes there was something about his smile that gave her butterflies. A fleeting feeling, like home. It made her feel safe. But she shakes it off. It doesn't matter now, because she'll never see that guy again. Except, as we already know, she does. And after that group hang in 1994, sparks fly. It's like they're two old friends seeing each other for the first time in years. And just like Will, Jada can feel the crazy heat between them. But their intense chemistry isn't the only reason she's drawn to Will. Jada feels like they understand each other. With Will, she feels heard, like her ideas really matter. Will is funny and sweet, and he's driven to create the life he wants, just like Jada. Will's ambition is sexy, and it makes Jada feel safe. She feels like he'll never let her down. She loves that he has a plan. He's living his own script, and nothing can shake him from it. The only problem is, he's married. So whatever Will's plan is, Jada doesn't think she'll ever be a part of it. And as for her own script, it's not going so well. She's frustrated by Hollywood and feels like she's not getting the parts she deserves. So, she decides to walk away. Jada Pinkett is ready to go home. It's 1995, and Jada's back in her hometown of Baltimore. She's in the middle of renovating an old farmhouse, and she keeps telling herself it's her dream. But it doesn't feel like home. Something's missing. She spends her days peeling off ugly wallpaper and scraping at decade-old bathtub mold. She keeps looking up and sighing, like, I just wish something totally random would come up out of the blue and shake things up for me. And the universe is like, your wish is my command. Because right then, her phone rings. And when she picks it up, it's Will Smith. Jada's stomach drops. Will asks her, hey, are you seeing anybody? Jada's a little thrown, but she responds, no. Why?
Cool. You're seeing me now, aight?
Yeah, this line isn't any better the second time around.
Not even with aight?
Nope.
The truth is, Jada does not like being told what to do. She's very much her own woman, and she makes her own decisions according to her own plan. But right now, her plan is kind of non-existent. And here's this guy she's super attracted to, offering her a part in his plan. She's already madly in love with Will. She trusts him. And she can tell he's been hurt. He needs her. And that's why Jada heads straight to the airport and hops on a flight back to Los Angeles with lots of layovers and delays. There she lives happily ever after in a million square foot palace called Her Lake.
Also not better the second time around.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But Jada didn't drag herself up out of Baltimore to live someone else's dream. She's still hellbent on making her own dreams come true. It's 1996, and Jada and Will are going strong. They're both killing it career-wise. They're madly in love and having passionate sex all over the place. Everything is perfect. At least according to Will. Because for Jada, things are a little more complicated. Of course, she loves Will and is thrilled to have a steady guy by her side. He makes her feel protected and safe. But something's off. Jada is self-medicating. She's chugging red wine like water. A bottle of wine in an hour and a half is easy for her. She's also using ecstasy and weed. She mixes them all together to get the kind of high she likes. But unfortunately, the situation is beginning to spiral. On the outside, it seems like Jada still has it together. She's even landed the lead role opposite Eddie Murphy in The Nutty Professor. It's a big deal, and Jada knows it'll take her career to the next level. But that's where things start to slip. Leading a movie is a lot of pressure, and it starts to get to her. One day, she arrives on the set for work. She says hello to a few people as she makes her way to the makeup trailer. But as she heads inside, Jada starts to feel kind of weird.
Like you on edibles weird?
Even worse weird. Thanks for bringing that up. Jada's high on ecstasy. At work. Usually she's careful. She knows how to take just the right amount at just the right time to just feel good for the moment. So Jada knows she should not be feeling like this. Something's wrong. She feels dizzy, but she tries to shake it off and get ready for the day. Pretty soon, she'll be called to set. But then, right in the middle of the makeup trailer, she passes out.
Oh no.
When she finally comes to, Jada is terrified. The crew is all standing over her, asking what's wrong. She has to think quickly. She obviously can't tell them she took some bad ecstasy and came to work. So instead, she says she must have left old medication in a vitamin bottle and taken it accidentally. Somehow, the crew buys her story.
I mean, hey, when you can act, you can act.
Ugh, you could say that again. Jada makes it to set and shoots her scenes. But she's disappointed in herself. This situation could easily have gotten her fired. And that would have impacted her career for years to come. I mean, it might even have ended it right then and there. So Jada decides to make today a turning point. Nothing like this is ever going to happen again. It's time to make some big changes. Jada dedicates herself to getting clean. But soon after, Jada and Will have that night of mind-blowing sex in Cabo. And 9 months later, baby Jaden is born. Jada's suddenly a wife and mother. 2 years after that, Willow comes along too. Years go by. And for Jada, things feel like they're just staying the same. It's 2005, 9 years since Jada vowed to change things. And while she's gotten clean, it hasn't solved all her problems. She's the mother of two kids she loves to death and wife to an amazing husband. But her life doesn't feel like hers. Jada looks out across the landscape surrounding her huge Calabasas mansion. It's a beautiful sunny day in Southern California, And from the window, she can see the glittering lake that Will named after her. But in her heart, Jada knows that lake isn't hers. In fact, it doesn't feel like any of this place is hers. She didn't want this palatial house at all. It's the furthest thing from the intimate country life she envisioned when she was younger. Her lake is just one more thing that Will says is for Jada. But really, it's all for Will. The bigger and grander Will's gestures of affection become, the smaller and more trapped Jada feels. She knows she has to find an outlet, some way to express all the feelings that are churning inside her. That's why, as she looks out across the idyllic landscape, she doesn't hear the birds or the wind blowing through the immaculate gardens. Instead, she hears a very different sound. It's the sound of her own rage. It's Ozfest 2005. Thousands of heavy metal fans pack an amphitheater in West Palm Beach, Florida, to rock out to bands like Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden. Leather-clad patrons spray sweat as they thrash their bodies around in the Florida heat. Jada's there, and she's front and center, bobbing her head up and down. But she's not in the crowd. She's on stage in badass bright red jeans and a black crop top that shows off her taut six-pack.
Hold on a sec. Jada's in a metal band? This is honestly crazier than when the Dolphins watched them bang.
Seriously. Jada has loved metal since she was a teenager. She was really into Metallica and Guns N' Roses, but she always wondered why there were no women fronting any metal bands. For Jada, her metal music and her band, Wicked Wisdom, feel like a release for frustration. And that's exactly what Jada needs. She's singing to resurrect a part of herself that she's lost. And on stage at Ozfest, Jada is in the zone. She feels as though she can be the version of herself that's usually hidden away behind layers of responsibility and expectations. This Jada takes up space. In fact, she's commanding. Her voice is melodic, but it's loud. She's angry and liberated all at once. The crowd can't take their eyes off her. Jury's out on if the lyrics are directed at Will, but the release of writing the songs and now being on stage feels incredible to Jada. The crowd's attention feels like it's just for her. When she was getting lost in her creative outlets at school in Baltimore, Jada felt a sense of escape. Now, that feeling is back. And just like at art school, audiences love her. And in the crowd at Ozfest are a few particularly big fans of hers. It's Guns N' Roses. And after seeing Jada perform, they invite her to open for them on their upcoming tour.
Okay, honestly, forget everything I ever said about knowing your brand.
Yeah, she's keeping us guessing. Yeah. It's a mind-blowing opportunity for Jada. Guns N' Roses are a huge inspiration for her. And they also happen to be one of the greatest bands of all time. Their debut album, Appetite for Destruction, is one of the highest-selling albums in U.S. history.
Honestly, I'd be shitting my leg holders.
Well, Jada doesn't do that, but she does say yes. And she feels like, finally, she's living her own dream and no one else's. It feels amazing. But then she gets the schedule. The Guns N' Roses tour falls at the same time her son Jaden will be shooting his first movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, which also happens to star Will. Jada looks right into Will's eyes as she talks to him about the situation. She's so excited. Touring with Guns N' Roses would be a dream come true. She feels like she'd be making something up to the version of herself who kept her mouth shut. And Will agrees with her. But he's also like, I can't change the shooting schedule. It's out of my hands. Will tells her she's got options. And she knows he's trying to help and say the right things. He wants to reassure her, but she doesn't feel reassured. What she feels is a wave of hot anger starting to envelop her. All she can think is that Will is the one with options, not her. Never her. Except that in this case, Will is right. Both of their mothers can help with Jaden on set while Jada's on tour. He and Jaden are also sharing a trailer during the shoot, so Will is going to be with him every step of the way. Their support for the little guy at every turn. Jada hears Will, but there's some part of her that can't let go. Jaden's only 6, and he's never shot a movie before. Her little boy is going to need her. Shooting a movie is tough, and Jada wants to be there for him. Her parents weren't there for her growing up, and she swore she'd never do that to her own kids. Jada stands alone in the kitchen at her lake, clutching a phone to her ear. She tenses as a voice answers on the other line. She takes a deep breath, and then in a soft, quavering voice, she says she's very sorry, but Wicked Wisdom won't be able to join the Guns N' Roses tour. As Jada hangs up the phone, she feels like she's back at square one. How can she be a mom and find herself again? But she can't find the answer. She's completely lost. Jada doesn't know how to be a mom, a wife, and the powerful, assertive woman she knows she really is deep down. By 2007, Jada spends most of her days sobbing. All day. Every day. For 45 days straight.
Okay, and like, what is Will saying? He's obviously noticing this is happening.
Yeah, he knows. And he also knows exactly how he's going to fix things for her.
Oh, God. Is this where he forces her to hang out with 6,000 of their closest friends?
Yeah, it's the perfect solution to this kind of thing. He feels like if Jada's in a funk, then the only thing that can snap her out of it is the greatest 40th birthday party in human history. It's 2012, and Jada is walking into a beautiful hotel in downtown Santa Fe, New Mexico. A soothing breeze blows as she takes in her stunning surroundings. She's turning 40, and Will has planned a long weekend of celebration. Jada loves Santa Fe and is excited to have a relaxing time with family and a few friends. The first night went beautifully, an intimate dinner with a few guests. But for the next night, Will planned a massive, lavish party. Think a ton of guests, elaborate decorations, and photo installations. Mary J. Blige is even set to perform. But Jada isn't into any of it. It all feels like Will's party, not hers. But things reach a breaking point when Jada watches that documentary Will made about her. The one that digs into some of her deepest emotional wounds in front of hundreds of her supposedly closest friends.
You mean the trauma montage?
The very same. The big issue is that Will got voice recordings of Jada's recently deceased grandma. No one in Jada's family even knew these existed. And now Will's springing them on Jada in a super public setting. Jada's grandmother was one of the most important people in her life growing up, and she's still processing her grief. But that grief and her feelings are private. It's up to Jada who she shares the intimate parts of herself with, not Will. As she watches the film, Jada feels rage clawing its way up her spine. For Will to make a spectacle of something so emotional is grotesque. But instead of saying something in the moment, Jada tamps her anger down. After all, she's been swallowing her rage for years. What's another few minutes? But this time, Jada really does mean just a few more minutes. She keeps thinking about how as a teen, she took control of her own script. Getting into art school, performing, taking care of herself. It all felt amazing. It made her feel strong. Now, she needs to take control again. After the screening, Jada is quiet. She's quiet the entire time she and Will make their way back to their hotel room. Jada heads into the bathroom and showers. All she can think about is that all she wanted for her birthday was intimacy. Instead, she got fanfare. Instead of Jada, she got Will. And it feels like it's been that way their entire relationship. Jada looks at herself in the mirror. She has to draw the line. She has to find the courage to say no. The birthday weekend isn't even over yet. But Jada knows she has to speak up and put an end to this right now. She exits the bathroom and says to Will, "I don't want to do anything tomorrow, so you can cancel whatever you had planned."
And Will's like, "Joke's on you. I hired a Jada body double for this event."
He is in the industry.
He is.
But it's been a while since Jada's spoken up. And yet, she's just warming up. Jada can see Will doesn't want to cancel what he's got going on. He insists she should just wait and see how she feels in the morning. Usually, this is where the conversation would end. But not tonight. Jada's like, "I'm telling you how I feel. I don't want to do it." And then she gets in Will's face for maximum clarity and gives him an order. "It's my birthday. Just cancel it." But Will's still not receiving the message. He says, "I'll cancel it in the morning. Just go to sleep and see how you feel." All at once, Jada's wicked wisdom heavy metal voice explodes out of her. "Cancel it now. That was the most disgusting display of ego I have ever seen in my life." That night, something in Jada snaps. She's terrified to leave Will, and she's worried about what it would do to her kids. But she also knows she's strong enough to survive whatever comes her way. Above all else, she knows she has to learn how to be happy. And to do that, she needs to be alone.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank?
Literally always.
Okay, well, the new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look, and it comes in luxe gold packaging. It feels incredibly high-end, but it is a lot more affordable.
Oh yeah, the Panorama Mascara lives up to its name by giving your lashes panoramic volume and a fully fanned out look. Its tapered mascara wand catches every single lash, including those hard-to-reach corner lashes. When I do wear makeup, I do the bare minimum, and that's usually eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss. And so mascara has to really pop.
Yes.
And let me tell you, L'Oreal, this baby pops.
Yeah. I do love the packaging. Like, I'm all about that.
So if you're looking for an affordable mascara that gives you voluminous, lengthened lashes, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
So as a listener of Even the Rich, you know that audio piques the imagination, which is why we're so excited for Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers. They feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances that really bring the story to life.
Oh, yeah. The next listen on my list is the psychological thriller, The Silent Patient.
Ooh.
So it's all about a therapist who tries to unravel the mystery of a woman who refuses to talk or give any explanation as to why she shot her husband. I mean, it's going to be the perfect binge listen, and you know I love my thrillers.
I can agree. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
Yeah, new members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500.
That's audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500 to get started.
It's 2018, and Jada Pinkett Smith is alone. Well, not alone alone. She and Will are still legally married, but romantically, they're separated. After 3 years of soul-searching, Jada's ready to stand on her own. She's at peace with herself. She's all that she needs. Jada's been working on herself, and she finally understands she'll only be able to find a sense of well-being when she puts herself first. The discovery makes her feel hopeful. It's like a plan to become more whole and healed. Jada's also done with labels. Will's wife has got to go. She's not that. She never even wanted to be that. But Jada and Will still love each other, and they're still deeply connected. Now they just need to figure out how to make a romantic relationship work again. Will understands. He gets it, and he's been working on himself too. He's still learning, but Jada can see that he understands now that he can't bestow happiness with bigger and better houses or parties. The strength of their relationship has to come from acceptance, understanding, and a willingness to listen. So Will listens. Jada and Will stop referring to themselves as being married. They redefine their relationship as being life partners. But for Jada, things feel more than redefined. It feels like they've evolved into something precious, strong, and long-lasting. But to outsiders, the back and forth seems ambiguous. And people have questions.
Myself included.
Yeah, and you're not the only one. The media freaks out when they get wind of Will and Jada's new arrangement. Is it an open marriage now? Are they just together in name only? Jada and Will ignore the public scrutiny. The only statement they release just says that there'd never been any infidelity in their marriage.
Romance truly never dies.
Mm-hmm. Jada's not too worried about what the world has to say about her relationship. It's not the first time she and Will have been wood chips for the rumor mill. Right now, Jada is laser focused on taking one final step forward. After years of keeping quiet, being a good mom and a good wife, she's ready to speak out about everything. And she's going to do it through her new passion project, Red Table Talk.
We are back at the table.
This is going to be an exciting one.
It is.
Red Table Talk is a talk show filmed at the Smith family home in Calabasas. It features three generations of women in Jada's family. Jada, her mom Adrian, affectionately called Gam Gam, and her daughter Willow. Adrian has been clean and sober for almost 30 years now. Unlike Jada's dad, Adrian's addiction never meant that she abandoned Jada completely. She obviously wasn't the best parent while she was using, but she and Jada have taken the time to work through their issues and heal together. Jada could see that her mom was trying and changing. She stopped repeating the same harmful behaviors, and she acknowledged the damage her addiction had on Jada. And Adrian's growth as a person helps inspire Jada to do some growing of her very own. Jada's on a quest for self-actualization. She's determined to lean into candor and accountability. Jada wants Red Table Talk to be a platform to discuss everything, from diets and plastic surgery to family, addiction, and race. And also vagina steaming. Sometimes all at the same time.
I mean, I do my best thinking during a good vag steam. I'm doing it right now.
Same.
Yeah, I knew it.
But above all, the red table itself represents a safe place. When guests come to the red table, they share the space as equals. Finally, Jada's found a way to combine her artistic power and the authority she projects on screen with her role as a daughter, mom, and wife. And it feels amazing. The show quickly develops a monster following with an audience of over 10 million viewers. To date, it's won an Emmy and 6 NAACP Image Awards. But despite all the conversations Jada has on the show, there's one conversation left that she still has to have. And it will determine how she spends the rest of her life. Because despite all the progress, the reconciliation, and the success, all is still not well at her lake. It's 2020, and Jada is sitting in front of her laptop. Her heart feels like it's hit the bottom of her stomach. Nervous, Jada navigates to a video on a webpage and clicks play. The beautiful face of a rapper named August Alsina fills the screen. In the video, he's sitting in a comfortable chair being interviewed by a radio host. Jada's insides do a little flip. She and August haven't really spoken in nearly 2 years, back when she and Will were still separated.
Ah, the infamous entanglement.
So infamous. Mm. Jada and August's romance was torrid, and it felt like exactly what Jada needed at the time. But ultimately, she realized that August was not her life partner. So she focused on rebuilding her relationship with Will. She moved on. But August, not so much. When August releases his new single, Nanya, there's a lot of speculation about who the lyrics are about, especially since the music video features a text chain with someone named Corin with a broken heart emoji next to the name. And Corin is Jada's middle name.
Ooh.
And it gets worse. The lyrics say a bunch more stuff, like, you're just an actress putting on a show. And that line in the music video is accompanied by an actual GIF of Jada.
I've never heard of a GIF.
The song is full of not-so-veiled references, but at least there's plausible deniability. But in the interview that Jada's watching, August really lays it all out there. He says he gave himself to the relationship for years and loved Jada deeply. He was truly devoted to her. He tells the host that walking away from it butchered him, almost killed him. And he means it. As he's talking about Jada, he's shaking. As she watches, Jada is shaking too. She can't believe August would say all these things on the record. Releasing a song about her is salt in the wound. This kind of publicity isn't just tabloid conspiracy nonsense. This is Jada's actual ex-lover dragging her. Anxiety wells in her chest. She's scared of what this could mean for her personally and professionally. She feels terrible about how much August is hurting. And at the same time, she's terrified about what this will do to Will. Jada knows if she is going to be the truest version of herself, she needs to face this situation head on. That's why, a few days after the story goes wide, Jada's back on the set of Red Table Talk. Production crew bustle around, getting ready to start recording the show as usual. But today isn't a usual episode of Red Table Talk. Usually, Jada is styled the way she would be for an event. Think effortlessly cool in a blouse and pants or a gorgeous dress. She always looks chic and ready to get into it with the latest amazing guest. But today, she's in a denim button-up and flip-flops. She sits cross-legged on her chair, and Adrian and Willow aren't there. Instead, her husband, Will Smith, sits across from her at the table. Tension flickers under Jada's calm exterior. She started the red table to be honest and explain herself. But today, she feels vulnerable in a way she never has before. With the cameras rolling, Jada explains to Will and to the world how she met August. At the time, Jada and Will were definitely separated. There was even a chance they were over for good. Neither of them knew yet. Jada says that she and August became entangled and that she had a relationship with him. She tells Will, I just wanted to feel good. It had been so long since I felt good. Will nods. He understands. But Jada can see that his heart is breaking as she talks about how unhappy she was with him. Her relationship with August really hurt Will. But as she sits with Will and talks calmly and openly about the lessons she's learned, what she feels is a deep, overwhelming love. Not just for Will, but for herself. For everything she is, everything she has been, and everything she will become. At this moment, Jada feels more whole than she ever has before.
And Will becomes a meme.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah.
Being with August and taking time away from Will showed Jada that happiness doesn't and shouldn't come from a romantic partner. It showed her that her childhood trauma made her believe that fixing people, like Will or August, would enrich her and heal her. But the only thing that could truly heal her was fixing herself. Being with Will has been a journey in unconditional love. The lesson Jada's learned is that Will is her family, and he always will be. Maybe no one else in the world understands it, but that might be okay. As the episode ends, Jada and Will fist bump and laugh.
You know, if you expect to be with somebody for a lifetime.
25 years and counting.
We ride together.
We die together.
Bad marriage for life.
But despite the difficult conversation, something serious has happened between them. Jada's made their relationship stronger by speaking up and standing up for herself. And Will vows that from now on, he's going to listen to his wife. He's going to pay attention to what she wants and how she's feeling. And when Will Smith makes a vow, he goes all the way.
99% is the same as zero, baby.
Exactly. So from that day on, they shoot Red Table Talk together, right up to the 2022 Academy Awards. Will Smith has his wife's back, no matter what.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Even the Rich ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
This is episode 3 of our 4-part series, Will Smith, Fresh Prince to Fallen King. We use many sources when researching our stories, but we especially recommend Will by Will Smith with Mark Manson and Red Table Talk on Facebook Watch. A quick note about our scenes. Some scripted dialogue has been added for narrative cohesiveness. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. Mem Kennedy wrote this episode. Our audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez. Sound design is by Sam Ada. Our coordinating producer is Matt Gant. Our managing producer is Tanja Thigpen. Our senior producer is Ben Gray. Kate Young is our series producer. Our executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Jenny Lauer-Beckman, and Marsha Louie for Wondery.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.